5:30, so we'll go ahead and get started, please. Thank you all so much for being here. I'd like to welcome everybody, all of our guests and our staff, all of council. Thank you so much for being here tonight. We've got a busy agenda, so we'll go ahead and open the meeting at 5:30 p.m. All right, well, we always start our meetings with a prayer, so if you would, please bow your heads with me. Father God, tonight we're so grateful for just the opportunity to come together, Lord, and get to city business and get to make decisions, Lord. Father, we just acknowledge that we want to be guided by you. We want your spirit to lead us, and we want to make decisions that are a blessing to you and an honor to you. Father, you are above all things. You hold everything together. You are above the city of Woodway, above the world, and King of the universe. We thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy that you've shown us. And Lord, together we just pray for the safety and for the prosperity of our city. Lord, tonight we ask that as we welcome our new council members, that you would just fill this council with unity, that you would fill this council with peace, and Lord, that your will would be done every time we come together. God, we want to do things your way, not the way that that we would want to, but the way that you would want to. So Lord, would you guide us and show us, and Lord, would you bless the great city of Woodway and all the men and women who make it such a wonderful place to live. We bless you and we honor you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen.
At this time, if you're able, please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you very much. We're going to move into our public comment time now. The City Council would like to invite citizens and guests to address the Council on any matter, including items that are on the agenda, except for public hearings. Those will have their own time for comments. We ask that you please limit your comments to 3 minutes per resolution R87-11. There's a timer up here on the screen behind us, so you can keep track of your time. The council is not permitted to take any action or discuss any item that's not listed on the agenda. When you're called to speak, we ask that you please state your name and your address. And if you're speaking on a particular item tonight, please state which item that is by giving us the item number. Thank you so much for your understanding and cooperation. The podium is now open for anybody who'd like to address council. All right, I don't see anybody to give public comments, so we will close that at this time. Thank you so much. All right, next up is the annual organization of the City Council. I'm going to pass this over to Mr. Shaw, our city attorney, to take it from here.
Well, I think first we're gonna go to Keisha.
Member of the City of Woodway.
Member of the City of Woodway.
Of the State of Texas.
State of Texas.
And will to the best of my ability.
And will to the best of my ability.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
The Constitution and laws of the United States.
Constitution and laws of the United States.
And of this state.
And of this state.
Congratulations. And the name and by the authority.
In the name and by the authority.
Of the state of Texas.
Of the state of Texas.
I state your name.
I, Kyle Friedel.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute the duties.
That I will faithfully execute the duties.
Of the office of council member.
Of the office of council member.
Of the city of Woodway.
Of the city of Woodway.
Of the state of Texas.
Of the state of Texas.
And will to the best of my ability.
And will to the best of my ability.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
The Constitution and laws of the United States.
The Constitution and laws of the United States.
And of this state.
And of this state.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
Meg, do you want to take a picture with Robin?
Chief.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Can't forget him.
What? You're the council member. You're the boss. Got it.
Welcome, welcome.
Welcome, Councilmembers Kriegel and Wallace. The next item up is item five, to consider action on appointment to the office of mayor. So the way we do this, yes, ma'am. I didn't know if you had a question. The way we do this is we will open item five for discussion and consideration. We will then move to nominations for the office of mayor, and we will cast votes on those nominations until we have a majority. We will take those votes in the order the nominations come. And again, once we have a majority, we have a mayor. We'll then repeat the process for item six, the mayor pro tem, okay?
Nominate Amin.
All right, we've got a nomination for Amin Kurzal for the office of mayor of the city of Woodway, Texas.
I make a nomination for Amin Kurzal to be mayor of the state of Texas.
And we have two nominations there. Do we have any other nominations for the office of mayor? All right, this time we'll cast our votes. I have a motion and a second to nominate Amin Kurzal mayor of the city of Woodway, Texas. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? It is unanimous, and Amin, long may you reign. Oh. All right.
Thank you.
Up next is item six, consider action on appointment to the office of mayor pro tem. At this time, I'll entertain nominations.
Story Cook.
All right, Dave Whitby has nominated Story Cook for the office of mayor pro tem. Do we have any other nominations?
I'll second that.
Seconded. Any other nominations? All right, then we will proceed to a vote. All those in favor of Story Cook for the office of mayor pro tem of the city of Woodway, Texas, say aye.
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 And any opposed? Congratulations, Mayor Pro Tem Cook. Mayor, with that, I will turn it back over to you.
Mr. Shaw, thank you so much for doing that. Really appreciate it. I also would like to echo the welcome to Councilwoman Wallace and Councilman Kriegel. We're so happy to have you. Thank you for stepping up and volunteering and being a part of this board. We really, really appreciate it. So welcome. Good to have you. Mayor Pro Tem, congrats again.
Thank you as well.
So honored to be working alongside you for another year. So thanks for your great work and all you do for us on the board. Really appreciate it.
You too.
All right, well, we're starting another year here, so let's jump right into it. I have a choir concert to get to tonight, so I want to get through the agenda pretty quickly here. So item number seven is discussion and consider action on resolution R26-08, designated Robert's Rules of Order, the 12th edition, to be the council's rules of procedure, except we're in conflict with the city's charter, code of ordinances, or other law, in which case the procedure set forth in the charter, code of ordinances, or other law shall control. Motion to discuss, please.
Motion to discuss. Move.
Second.
Thank you so much. Mr. Manager, anything on number seven?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Brief background. The city charter, section 2.10, calls for the council to annually designate rules of procedure. In the past years, the council has consistently adopted Robert's Rules of Order to fulfill this requirement. The 12th edition of Robert's Rules is the most current edition. That's all.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there any discussion on Robert's Rules? Anybody want to adopt something else? No.
Anything else?
Anything else? Anything else?
That'd be a fun start, wouldn't it?
No.
12th is better than 11th, so.
Okay, very good, very, very good. Okay, I don't hear any discussion, so I will entertain a motion on item number seven, please.
I move that we accept Resolution R-26-08 designating Robert's Rules of Order to be the council's rules of procedure.
Thank you, Mayor Protem. Thank you, Councilwoman Gilman. It's been moved and seconded. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. Ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you, council. All right, that's it for the annual organization of the council. We're moving now into our presentations. Item number eight is the presentation by Will Dan on the preliminary results of the water and wastewater rate study. So, Mr. Manager, who do we have this evening?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Again, another brief background. At the June 9th, 2025 City Council meeting, Will Dan Financial Services was selected as a consultant to perform a water and wastewater rate study. City staff, including the city manager, finance director, director of community services, assistant director of community services, and utility billing coordinator, have worked with Will Dan to complete the study over the last 11 months. Dan Jackson, vice president of Will Dan Financial Services, is here to present the preliminary results to the city council. And here he is.
Very good. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. I am Dan Jackson, vice president of Will Dan Financial Services. I've got my colleague Alex Hilovich with me as well. We're the people that, as the city manager said, were engaged to do the water and wastewater rate study for the city of Woodway. And we would like to present to you tonight the preliminary results of our analysis and our recommendations for a new long-term rate and financial plan for the city to implement. We're not asking for any decisions to be made tonight. This is an informational presentation only. So I have a hopefully relatively brief presentation I'd like to go through, but I think it is very important to provide a lot of background on water and wastewater rates, both nationally in the state of Texas and for the city of Woodway, because it's very important for decision makers like yourselves to understand that a lot of the dynamics in the water industry right now are due to factors beyond our control. You know, there are costs are going up in the water industry. Water is a business, like, you know, water is a product, like a McDonald's hamburger or a gallon of gasoline or anything else. It costs money to produce that product and make it available to customers. And so when the cost of producing that product goes up, you have no choice but to pass that cost through to the ultimate ratepayer. And so for that reason, costs have been going up rather dramatically, not just for the city of Woodway, but for cities all over the state of Texas. And so it is very important that we stay on top of these cost increases, and that, because that will ensure that we continue to have a financially healthy utility. So after I go through a quick background on what people are currently paying for water and sewer service here in the city, I'm going to talk then about your customers and your volumes, and then the cost that you incur in providing that service. In other words, how much water are you producing, and how much does it cost to produce it? Then I will present to you our proposed rate plan, and then I will summarize it. So once again, I do want to talk a little bit about what's going on here in the state of Texas. You know, water is a very precious and diminishing natural resource. There's only a limited, finite amount of it. And so that is what is causing a lot of the pressure of the increasing costs of water here in the state. The average utility has been raising its rates here in Texas 5 to 6% every year. And that trend is expected to continue in the future. Now, that does not mean that you should be raising your rates because everybody else is, but what it means is that everybody else is being subjected to the same pressures financially as you are. As a matter of fact, the American Water Works Association anticipates that water and sewer costs will triple in the next 15 years. I think we've all been blessed as Americans that we have access to water resources. As a matter of fact, 70% of the world households do not have running water. And so we here in America have it, but unfortunately, it is going to become more expensive. Now, why is that? Why is cost going up? Well, as I alluded to earlier, water is a business. And like any business, your costs go up. Well, one reason for that is inflation. Cost of everything goes up 3 to 4% a year just due to inflation. Water is no different. But one of the most important aspects of the water business is that it costs millions of dollars to build and maintain and operate a water system. Costs a lot of money to build those pipelines, to lay those pipes, to build those lift stations and pump stations, and to make sure that water is available at any time of the day or night. Keep this in mind. The primary cost of your water is not the molecules of water. It is the availability of water at any time people want it. So if at 2 o'clock in the morning you get up and you want to go get a drink of water, water will be there for you. That is where the true cost of water is. And that is what has been going up because cities have to invest millions of dollars to ensure that their water system will run. Now, finally, I'm going to present to you some rate comparisons because it's something that is a very common question that is asked. But keep this in mind, whenever you compare your rates to other neighboring communities, 30 to 40% of utilities in the state of Texas and across the country charge rates that do not cover their costs. So just because another neighboring utility is lower than yours, that doesn't necessarily mean that they run a more efficient system or they're smarter than you or anything like that. It might mean that they're using their general fund to subsidize their water and sewer fund. So, okay, we've talked a little bit about what's going on nationally. Let's talk about the city of Woodway. You last did a water and wastewater rate adjustment in October of 2024, almost 2 years ago. So you did about a 5% rate adjustment then. Unfortunately, right now, your expenses have gone up at a higher rate. And so your utility revenues are not covering all of your costs right now. Now, on the water side, it seems to be doing okay. Water rates are covering water costs. It's wastewater that is really recovering less than its costs. Wastewater costs are going up at a rate significantly higher than water costs. And the cost of building wastewater infrastructure is significantly higher than water infrastructure. And finally, of course, inflation is continuing to drive up your costs even further. And you're going to have the need to invest about $35 million in your system in the next 5 years to ensure that it continues to operate at a level of service that is acceptable to you. So the combination of your rates under-recovering a little bit, inflation, other costs going up, and the need to invest in your future system is inevitably going to lead you to the need to implement a new water long-term rate plan. Okay, this is your current rate structure. How do people pay for water service here? Well, if you're a water customer, you pay two types of fees. You pay a monthly service charge of $33.60, and you get your first 2,000 gallons of water for that. After that, you pay rates for every 1,000 gallons of water you use. But you pay under what's known as an inverted block rate structure. The more you use, the more you pay. The idea of that is to encourage conservation, to give you a financial disincentive to use greater amounts of water. But the lowest amounts of water are at the lowest rate. So what that also does, it helps to the best extent possible minimize the impact of water rate increases on your low-income and fixed-income residents because they typically, though not always, but they typically use the least amount of water. So inverted block rates are extremely successful in getting people to minimize water usage. They've been successful all across the country. On the wastewater side, you pay a base charge of $30.14, and then you pay a volumetric rate of $3.62 based on something called a winter average. You see, we all know how much water we use because it all goes through a meter before it gets into your house. But we don't know how much wastewater you put back into the system because there's no such thing as a residential wastewater meter. So you have to estimate the amount of wastewater usage that you use each month, and that's how you bill. Well, how do you do that? How do you estimate it? Well, you use water for 12 months in a year. In the winter time, almost all the water you use is going to be inside your house. But in the summertime, a lot of water you use for lawn watering, car washing, filling the swimming pool, that kind of thing. So what cities like Woodway do is they take the winter months, November, December, January, February, and they use the average of that. And that is a cap on how much water you use. Because if you're a family, you might only use 5,000 or 6,000 gallons in December and January, but you might use 15,000 gallons in June. So what happens is in June, you pay for you only pay for 5,000 gallons of wastewater. It's a very successful system, and it's used by cities all across the country, but that's how you pay for wastewater. So the key question is, how do our rates compare to other utilities? Well, this chart hopes to answer that question. This is a comparison of current monthly charges for 10,000 gallons of water and 5,000 gallons of wastewater. Oh, thank you. As you can see, a customer in the city of Woodway pays $113.76 for 10,000 gallons of water and 5,000 gallons of wastewater. As you can see, you compare very favorably to a lot of other cities in this part of the state. You're lower than the sample average. You're lower than the state average is about $130 also. So you're below the state average as well. In other words, you're right about where you would expect to be. You're higher than some, you're lower than others. Now, one other thing that's that was kind of interesting, at least to water guys like me, is that your average residential usage is about 12,900 gallons a month. That's a little high for residentials, customers in the state of Texas. In most cities in the state, the average is more like 7,000 to 9,000 gallons. So you are very aggressive water users here in the city of Woodway. Okay, let's talk a little bit about your customers. You've got about 4,400 customers. To no great surprise, the vast majority of them are residential. You're a residential community. On the wastewater side, you have about 4,000 accounts. Now, some larger cities like your Waco's or your Dallas's have very large commercial bases, so they're able to push a lot of their water costs onto their commercial customers. Unfortunately, you don't have that same level, that same option here, because you're primarily a bedroom community. So it is your residential customers that will bear the burden of most cost increases. This again is a great chart for water nerds like me, but it shows that you used about 822 million gallons of water in the current year. Residential, 75%. So it's about what you would expect it to be. You have a little tiny amount of outside customers, less than 1%, and then commercial and irrigation are the rest of it. Okay, this chart right here shows that you've had, this is a historical and forecast water and wastewater accounts. You're a mature community, you're pretty much built out, so we're not really anticipating a lot of growth. Rate plans can change fairly significantly if you're in a city like, say, a Frisco that's growing at the rate of, 8 to 9% a year. You can design a rate plan a little bit differently, but you're more of a mature community, so we've taken that into consideration as well. Water usage. You can see for the last 4 years, your water usage bounced around a little bit. That's exactly what you would expect. Water usage is very heavily dependent on weather. Guess what? If it rains a lot, people don't use as much water. Yeah, this is really complicated stuff, isn't it? We're sort of anticipating, average usage. In all reality, in the future, it's going to go up and down again in the future, we can't even tell us whether it's going to rain next week, whether or not, regardless of whether it's going to rain next year or not. Okay, let's talk a little bit about your costs. A forecast is not a guarantee. It is a prediction based on a series of reasonable assumptions. What we've done is we've done a 5-year projection of your costs, a 10-year projection actually, of your costs, and we've based that on assumptions about the future. Well, one of our key assumptions is that most of your costs are probably going to go up by 3 to 4% a year. Cost of everything goes up by that amount. Certain expenses are probably going to increase a little bit faster, like chemicals, electricity, insurance, workers' compensation. Our forecast model takes all that into consideration and does increase that a little bit more. But one of the key drivers of this rate plan is your capital improvement plan. That is the capital expenditures that you put into repairing, maintaining, replacing, and ensuring the quality of service in your water and sewer system. Over the next 10 years, you are forecast to spend about $9 million on your water capital improvements and $26 million on your wastewater capital improvements. Now, the good news about that is that that is all investments directly in the future of the city of Woodway. That money goes right back into your streets. It builds assets that are not only going to serve you, but they're going to serve your children, your grandchildren, and maybe even your great-grandchildren. So it is an investment in the future. but it is a necessary investment. Because if you don't make these investments, the quality of your service is going to decline fairly precipitously. So how is it going to be funded? It's going to be funded through a combination. You've already got some debt money left over from your last bond issue, but also it's going to be funded through issuing new debt and through your current rates. Okay, these are your primary projects. The water projects, $9 million. Wastewater projects, $26 million. The big water projects are the 12-inch water line from Bosque, and the 12-inch water line, the Waco connection. On the wastewater, the big one is the main gravity line replacement. Now, capital improvement plans impact rates in three ways. How much do you have to fund? When do you have to fund it? And how do you finance it? We've just answered the question of how much you have to fund, $20 to $35 million. This project right here answers the when. When do you have to fund it? As you can see, you can use existing bond debt and rates to fund most of the projects in 26 and 27, but starting in 2028, in order to fund these capital projects, you're gonna have to start issuing more debt. You're gonna have to issue about $14 million in debt over the next 5 years. The good news is that a lot of this debt is pushed out a couple of years, and that buys us some time to phase in a rate plan that minimizes the impact on your ratepayers. That's good financial management. Most of the debt we're assuming is gonna have about a 25-year term and about a 5% interest rates. Maybe we'll get lucky, maybe interest rates will come down and that might save you some money. If interest rates came down to 3%, it would save you a significant amount of money. Another big aspect is your wholesale costs. You buy much of your water from Waco and you send much of your sewage to Waco. If they increase their rates, you have to pass that through to your customers as well. This chart shows that Waco is probably going to increase their rates 3 to 4% a year, because guess what? They're under the same pressures that you all are. This chart with all these numbers here is a projection of your total cost of service over the next 10 years. I know there's a lot of numbers here, but it's pretty easy to see the trends. Your total cost of service is about $8.7 million in the current year, and that's projected to hit about $12.1 million by the year 2034. Your operating expenses are going to go up. Your water and wastewater contractual costs are going to go up. But you can see one of the big drivers is future debt. As you issue new debt, you have to have rates in place that will fund the debt service. Okay, so let's cut to the chase. Let's talk about the proposed rate plan. We're going to recommend that you implement a five-year rate plan. The benefit of a five-year rate plan is that it is one ordinance with 5 years of automatic adjustments. The adjustments would take place in October of each year, beginning in October of 2026, going through October of 2030. There would be uniform percentage adjustments on the water and on the wastewater. Also, we recommend that you phase in the rates over a period of time. Like I told you at the beginning, you're under-recovering a little bit in your water and sewer fund right now. Don't try to fix the problem overnight. You can phase it in, and that minimizes the impact on your ratepayers. It gives your ratepayers more time to get used to the new rate structure. This rate plan would recommend 2 to 3% adjustments on the water rates, because your water fund is already in pretty good shape and you just need to do sort of cost of living adjustments. But unfortunately, higher adjustments on the wastewater. We would recommend that you do 10% wastewater adjustments for each of the next 5 years. Now, why is the wastewater rates adjustments higher? Because you're issuing more wastewater debt and your wastewater rates right now are a little bit under recovering. So that, and you don't have as many wastewater billing units. Because remember, in a lot of the months, you're using 15,000 gallons of water, but only 5,000 gallons of wastewater. So you don't have as many wastewater gallons, so you have to do the increases a little bit higher on the unit rates. Now, we are recommending that you use some of your existing unrestricted reserve to support your rates in the next 2 years. But the good news is you've got a healthy fund balance. You have a very healthy water and wastewater utility right now. I want to emphasize that. It is healthy. But the thing is, healthy fund balances can become unhealthy very quickly if you don't stay on top of these cost increases. You have basically a 90-day requirement. You want to keep at least 90 days of reserves because that's good financial policy, just in case you have any kind of unexpected issues or expenses. And if you draw down your fund balance by a little bit less than $1 million, it still will be above the 90-day balance. So this rate plan will enable you to use your unrestricted reserve to support your rates, minimize the impact on your ratepayers, and still have an adequate fund balance for the future. So I'm going to show you a couple of quick charts that show you the rates themselves, but then I'll show you the much more important chart, which is the impact on an average monthly bill. This chart right here is our recommended rate for the next 5 years. Once again, I apologize for the fact that there's a lot of numbers here, but if you look at the residential rate, you see that it would call for an increase in the monthly minimum charge of about 75 cents each year for the next 5 years. And the volumetric rate would probably go up by about 5 to 10 cents in each of the volume blocks. Same thing is pretty much true on the commercial rates. On the wastewater side, the increases would be a little bit higher. The monthly minimum charge would go from $30 to $33 in October, and then to $36 in 2027, to $40 in 2028, and eventually reaching $48 by 2030, with similar increases in the volumetric rate. Now, here's the key question that everybody wants to know. What does this mean in terms of what people pay? Well, this right here is probably the single most important chart in the entire presentation, because that answers that question. If you're a typical residential user and you use about 10 or so thousand gallons a month of water service, you're paying $113 right now. Under this plan, your bill would go up by $6.13 a month. That's about a 5.5% increase. Remember, 2% water and 10% wastewater, the average of those two is about 5%. You'd see about another $6 increase in 2027, $7 to $8 increases in 2028 and 2029, and about a $9 a month increase in 2030. If you use more water, if you use 15,000 gallons, your bill would go up by about $8 a month. If you use less water, 5,000 gallons, your bill would only go up by about $5 a month. Now, I hate to take these very complex financial plans and try to summarize it in terms of one or two numbers. I don't like to do that, but if I did, I would tell you that for the vast majority of your residential ratepayers, the impact is somewhere around $5 to $8 a month for each of the next 5 years. On the commercial side, of course, commercial customers tend to use a little bit more water, so their bill would go up a little bit higher. In closing, I've just got two charts left. So, in closing, I just want to mention briefly the meter changeout program. Meter changeout programs sometimes can be a little controversial because they can be expensive. But a meter is a cash register. It enables you to bill for the service that you provide. Every cent that the city spends in providing water service to a customer is incurred by the time the water hits that meter. So if you have meters that are not registering properly, you are basically leaving money on the table. It's like you go into a store and you have a bill for $20 and the cash register rings up $16. That's great for you, but not particularly good for the business. And I will tell you that 99.9% of the time, when a meter is not registering properly, it's under-registering as opposed to over-registering. And there's a lot of reasons for that. You know, there's like dirt and stuff like that getting in the meter and it just doesn't register properly. So, the old meters are becoming obsolete, they're becoming difficult to find, and a new generation of radio read meters is coming in that has significantly improved the efficiency of the system. It enables people to get in trucks and drive through the streets, and they automatically read all the meters. Furthermore, that reduces human error. The old meters that would have to go out and, you know, manually write down all the meters, that's not done anymore. It also enables you to do early leak detection. So if a residential household has a leak, you can spot it almost immediately, whereas under the old system, you wouldn't know it for a month. And it will also enable people to do real-time usage monitoring. So while it's never easy to ask people to invest in that kind of system, it really will pay off in the future. So my very last chart. I know it's never easy to ask people to pay more. I've done probably about 400 of these presentations for cities all over the state and all over the country. And I like to say that I have never, ever had anybody come up to me after a presentation and say, thank you for recommending that we raise our rates. But I have had people say, I don't like it, but I understand why it needs to be done. And that's the point I hope I have conveyed tonight. It's never easy to ask people to pay more. but by paying more, you will actually benefit your utility. You'll benefit by, first of all, you'll eliminate the operating shortfall in your fund. Your fund is healthy right now, but if you keep incurring shortfalls, it will become unhealthy. This will eliminate that problem. Importantly, it will give you the ability to invest $35 million in the future of your city. It will ensure that people only are, that water customers are covering water costs and wastewater customers are covering wastewater costs. Remember, while you are a business, you're a nonprofit business. All you're asking your ratepayers to do is pay what it is costing you to provide that service. And so, to the extent that you are recovering less than your costs, you're basically subsidizing your ratepayers. This rate plan will eliminate that, and it will ensure that you continue to have a healthy water and wastewater utility. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you have at this time.
Thank you very much, sir.
And thank you for the water.
Absolutely, yes. We'll send you a bill.
Yeah. By the way, three of these is the cost of the water rate increase each month.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah.
So we're not posted for any action on this, but we do have time for questions. Yes.
Okay. You said that under the graphic that mainline gravity was 15 million plus.
Yeah.
15 million plus on that. Where did that 15 million plus come from? Because right now that's in.
We're getting a wastewater management plan, a long-term plan. We contracted that out this year. We just got the results back and we gave them to him for those numbers. So that's part of our long-term plan.
We wanted to make sure they had the most up-to-date numbers when they ran this through their system. So we incorporated the water master plan that had been previously brought to council and then the newly wastewater plan. So those are the more accurate numbers that the outside engineers are saying that we need to invest in our system in the future.
Why do the wastewater and residential numbers, why aren't they one for one?
Because there are the city has irrigation meters, and there are some homes, I guess a limited number of them, that have septic systems, right?
Yes.
So they have water service, but they don't have wastewater service. Plus, there are residential and irrigation meters. An irrigation meter does not have wastewater with it. It's only water.
All right. That answers that.
Madam Secretary, may we have a copy of this emailed to us? So, thank you so much.
We all have also submitted our draft report, where we go through all these numbers in excruciating detail, and provide all the backup too. So that report.
A little light reading.
There it is.
Oh, love it!
You started out by saying this is a preliminary report.
Yes.
How preliminary is it?
It's. I mean, unless Ms. Hernandez finds any problems with it, it's pretty final.
I had a feeling that's what this was going.
The first rate adjustment looked like October 2026 is what I saw on the chart. So
that's correct.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing a decision from us has to come pretty soon so that we can get that into effect.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Probably by this budget season, I'm guessing.
Sir.
Okay. That's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, thank you so much.
Mr.
Thank
Jackson, I do want to say, even though this was not the most spellbinding information, the way you convey it and the way you explained it, very, very, very clear. So I just want to commend you. I just want to commend you on the way you presented it, because it's complicated stuff, but you did it in a very, very easy to understand way. So
thank you
really
very
appreciate
much.
It.
Great. Thank
you. Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Jackson. We're going to move on to the presentation discussion regarding the status of the Fairway Gravity Sewer Project. Before we do that, Mitch, could you help Meg with her chair? We need an engineer.
I'm good now.
Did you get it?
My feet touch the ground.
You got it?
I see over the top.
Are you sure?
Okay. We're good.
Okay. I saw you slump down there earlier.
I've been there.
That whole sitting over the top is a big deal.
I've been there, Meg. Short people.
All right.
Is this going to work? Or are you going to?
It'll work as soon as I
can. All right. Okay. I'm going to
for the new members, some of the newer members. I mean, I were talking about this, I think he's probably the last councilman that was here when this project actually started. So this is the Woodway Fairway Gravity Interceptor Project. I'm going to give you an update on it from the beginning, and we'll start with phase one. So phase one is this area in green. It started at what we call the Waco lift station there. I think it can actually point. It's got a pointer. Maybe. So, yeah, here we go. So this is the Waco lift station. We started there. Our old system that is in place was in the 1970s, and it was failing. It was actually about to fall in the creek right in here, and that's why we created phase one, was to just get this part in first. So we started at the old lift station, and we went, this black line is basically the new line, and we went to right here, which is essentially just at the start of what we call the old golf course, but it's the Cotton Crossing neighborhood now. And so that was phase one in a geographic sense. Here's kind of the summary of the project. The contractor was Santa Clara Construction. It was a $1.8 million contract. The bid date was in May of 2019. It was a 210-day contract, and they laid about 1,900 feet of pipe. They got this job done on time, but at the end, I did note, you know, the contractor filed a bunch of claims that had to be settled out by the city attorney. So that's how that project wrapped up. But all in all, it finished pretty well under or at budget, and it was on time. Phase two, so we'll come back to the whole screen, is the area in yellow. It'll zoom in here for you. But so it started where phase one ended on the old golf course. Basically, the majority of this project is in what I call the old golf course, and it runs through here. You can still see some of the old fairways. And then it ran down, it turned, and went down this fairway, and then right here it kind of went into some private property, and we got easements for this. And then right here it enters the Arboretum, so it goes, it went right through the heart of the Arboretum. Destroyed a big chunk of the Arboretum when they did this, and then ended right here behind City Hall in the parking lot. And that's where phase two ended. So that project wrapped up. And so here's kind of the summary of that one. The contractor was S.J. Lewis. It was a $6.6 million contract. We bid that job in June of 2020. It was a 450-day contract. They laid 7,900 feet of pipe, so almost a mile and a half of pipe. And then this one, again, at the end, the contractor filed a bunch of claims. We've filed a bunch of counterclaims. The city attorney sat down with them. Basically, at the end, we settled out to where we kept a big chunk of money, and then we, with that money, we restored the project through the Arboretum, which was our property. So, and then there were some other property owners that we helped make whole as well with the final funds of that project. So that was phase two. Phase three is where we currently are. It's the area here in red. It starts back here behind City Hall and went through the rest of the remainder of the city property to Fairway Road, at which point it went down into that creek. It runs down the creek all the way to US 84 at the end, and that's where it picks up the very end of our system that is capturing those two neighborhoods on the other side, south side of US 84. So that's the, and so the phase itself, the contractor is DeGuerra Construction. The contract amount is 10.8 million. I believe 10.6, and we started that in July of 2021. It had a 360-day contract length, and it's 5,900 feet of pipe, so a little over a mile. The current status of this project, there's 860 feet left to go, so they're about 85% complete laying line. We've got roughly $3 million left to spend, or about 72% complete. Those two numbers don't align because some of the costs are in restoration after they lay the line. So they've got to come back and restore the parts that run through the creeks. And most of that is in the creek. Contract time is a 360-day contract. We're currently in, and this is as of the end of February. This was my last pay up that I had officially, 1,444 days. So they're 1,184 days over their contract time. And the current schedule they've given us is they're going to finish at the end of August this summer. So that's where we stand contractually. And then the last slide here, Brenda gave me some good numbers. This is the contract as it currently stands financially. The original bonds we issued for this project were $11.8 million for phase three. interest earned, just from the length of time we've had to keep it, it's a little over $1 million. We anticipate another $50,000 in interest to accrue before we end the job. We've incurred $8.9 million in expenses, so the balance to finish with all the liabilities and that we've accrued is $3.4 million. You total all that up, and at the end, we should have roughly $650,000 left of that bond at the end of the job. So that's just kind of an update on the project as it stands. I will gladly answer any questions that I can. I know we're going to go in executive session because some of the questions you're going to ask are probably more for our counselor, not me, but I will answer any that I can.
Thank you, Mitch. Any questions for Mitch?
Just a comment, mainly. I mean, this has gone on forever. What's going to guarantee that it's going to end at the time that you said and the money that you said? Not reflection on you.
No, I get it.
The history of this whole thing.
Every month we have a project meeting and they bring us a schedule, and that's just what you want to ask them is like, this schedule has moved for years. And, you know, we came to council, was it 2 years ago? And we were like, well, we've gone over, how do y'all want to finish this? And we got our direction, let's push through and get done. We thought it was going to be another few months. Here we are 2 years later. And to answer your question, I don't have any guarantees that they're going to finish when they say they're going to be finished. I know that the bond company is now involved with the contractor, and so they are pushing them to get done, whereas before it was just the contractor. So that's some assurances from my perspective that this is going to get done in a much more timely fashion. They have brought in a new superintendent in the last 6 months who has done a lion's share of effort to get done. He's doing the things that should have been done from the get-go as far as we're concerned. So,
well, then every time they come back, they want more money.
Well, and that's, we haven't got to the end of the job to see what's going to happen. I anticipate, just on the history of what contractors do in this day and age, is there will be some claims filed to try to recoup some of the money, because there's, in our opinion, there's no way they're making money on this job. They've lost so much money and time and cost that we just don't know how they're going to me, they should be screaming to get off this job because they're so far behind the eight ball on it.
We're going to be chatting a little bit more about some of those things here in just a little bit, Councilwoman. Mitch, the only question I wanted to ask you, do you talk with the superintendent, or is it STV that is the liaison with the city?
So STV is our day-to-day liaison with them. We meet once a month and have project meetings with STV and the contractor, and so we are all in the room together, and we do all talk. My crew does have a relationship with the contractor because there's plenty of times where we have to get involved just from a customer service standpoint. And then we do have a project liaison, Rebecca Carroll, whose main responsibility is dealing with citizens.
Okay.
And she answers those calls to start with, and then we will get involved depending on what their needs are.
Okay. So Rebecca's information is available for citizens to reach out to.
Anytime.
Diggers in their backyard and people walking across the lawn and all that.
Okay. And we've had, yes.
Okay. Do you personally go and monitor the progress? Do you go down there?
At least once a week. Stephen and I, my assistant.
That's great.
We will drive the project just to see where they are.
Yep.
And yes.
So you're aware.
Oh yeah.
Of the digger that's been on the access road and.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I've had several people call and ask me what's going on. Why is it still here? But we see it and we bring it up. So yes, sir.
That's great.
Mitch, is there anybody? I mean, anybody that could be held, be the guy that says, I can hold these people accountable. I mean, is that just out in the ethernet where nobody holds anybody accountable? We all know, like, you know, on a weekly basis, you know, Stephen, because you go out and look at it. Mm. You know, what is her name, Susan? She can know.
Rebecca.
Everybody can know, but nobody seems to be the person or entity that holds anybody accountable. It's all just watching them do what they do.
I mean, the shorter answer is we have a contract that holds them responsible.
Okay, so, okay. I'm not going to say what I was going to say.
Never mind.
Well, if my rough math is right, it's, if you just judge by percentages and days it's taken so far, there's still 6+ months left of time just based on that math. I know it's supposed to be easier work now, but if they're claiming 3.5 months now, they've got to work a lot faster than they've worked before.
Well, and they said they're going back and correcting some things, so that adds time to it and money.
Those are great points. I wish I could give you an affirming answer, but I don't have one, and unfortunately.
We're not beating you up, man.
No, yeah.
No, I understand, but I hear your frustrations.
The question was fact-finding, not.
No, yes. We get a lot of calls about people asking what's going on, and you know, it's for the most part, they just want to know, when are we going to get done? That's the main thing everybody wants. And unfortunately, all I have is the schedule that they give us. It's like, they've told me they're going to be done in August, but they told me they were going to be done in August a year ago, that year. And so I don't have a lot of confidence, but I do know they are progressing and they are moving forward. So
it's helpful to know that you yourself and your crew are going down there and seeing it, so you can kind of sympathize with the frustration you're hearing up here.
We do appreciate everything you're doing.
Yes.
Oh, well, thank you.
Anything else for Mr. Davidson?
Can I ask a question? I'm sorry. Is that substantial completion include putting all the property back to order, or is that when they're saying they'll have the sewer line connected and then they'll begin?
That's the schedule they've given us for substantial completion includes the punch list. So yes, that should be finished.
So in theory, the line ought to be completed ahead of that August date.
Correct.
I mean, we'll see.
Okay. Thank you, Mitch.
You're very welcome.
Incredible restraint up here.
I applaud your restraint.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Makes me nervous.
Council, if it's okay with you, let's keep rolling. Let's save the executive session for a little bit later so we can get through these items, and then we can just do the executive session to wrap things up. Item number 11, Ms. Secretary, if you don't mind, discussion regarding code of ethics for elected and appointed officials adopted by resolution R25-09. Can I get a motion to discuss, please?
I make a motion to discuss.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Manager, any comments on number 11, please?
11. We have this brief background. On July 14th, 2025, a code of ethics for elected and appointed officials was adopted by resolution R-25-09 at a regular meeting of the City Council. Because the purpose of this code of ethics is to foster a healthy and productive working environment among members of the council and its appointees, the members wish to revisit these principles as part of the installation of newly elected and appointed officials. That is all.
Thank you, Mr. Manager.
Yes, sir.
Council, the only question I have, and this is really for Mr. Shaw and whoever, does the resolution require that we reapprove the code of ethics every year?
No, sir.
Okay. So would it be possible tonight just to adopt it until?
Well, that's what you did in 2025, last July when you adopted it. I mean, it stands as your code of ethics for your elected and appointed officials until such time as you amend or revoke it.
Okay. Is there anybody who would like to amend or revoke this, the code?
No. Okay. This is the same one. There's no change to it, correct?
Right.
Well, I'm going to make a motion to approve the code of ethics and to also not have this on a yearly basis, to only visit it if we want to amend or revoke it, if that's okay with everybody.
I'll second that.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. So moved, seconded, thank you. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. Ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Council. Okay, item number 12 is discussion and consider action on resolution R26-09, casting votes to elect a member of the governing body for the McLennan County Rural Transit District. Motion to discuss, please.
So moved.
I'll second it. Mr. Manager, comments on number 12, please.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. On January 29th, 2015, the McLennan County Rural Transportation Conference Committee voted by resolution to create the McLennan County Rural Transit District. The current term for the Place 8 Director, Precinct 4 Region, of the McLennan County Rural Transit District Board of Directors will expire May 31st, 2026. At the April 27th City Council meeting, Councilmember Ken Suri was selected as a nominee. McLennan County Judge Scott M. Felton has provided the ballot with two candidates, including Councilmember Suri. Each city has 20 votes to split between the nominees. Only 10 of the votes may be cast for the city's own nominee. Per the bylaws, since there are two nominees, each city need not cast the other 10 votes, but may do so. If there is a tie, the county judge will cast a vote to tie break, and the ballot must be returned to Judge Felton's office no later than Thursday, May 14th, 2026.
Thank you, Mr. Manager.
Yes, sir.
Ken, do you want to do this?
I'm happy to serve.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. If not, I was going to move to cast all the ballots for the other person. This is your last chance. This is your last chance.
This is your last chance
if you don't want to do it. That's all I'm saying.
No, I'd like to do it.
I think Ken would be wonderful.
Ken would be wonderful. I know. Ken would be wonderful. But I'm giving him a, you know.
No.
I don't want you to feel obliged.
No, I'm willing to serve.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm happy to move that we cast 10 votes for Sherry Adams of McGregor and 10 votes for Ken Suri of Woodway.
Because that's all we can do, right?
Yes.
We don't have to use all 20 votes. We can just cast 10.
And I think we should.
I got
just
you.
Cast the
okay,
total.
I would like to redo my motion. that we provide 10 votes towards Ken Suri of Woodway.
I'll second that motion. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. Ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously.
I will abstain, though, just it's me and the...
You can vote for yourself.
I can vote for myself?
Yes.
All right, aye.
Yay!
Oh, that's confirmation.
That was so funny.
That's confirmation.
I will say, when I went to Boy State, I did not vote for myself, and I lost by a vote.
Oh, yeah.
I should have learned that.
That was the most boisterous I've ever heard. So thank you, Ken. All right. Ms. Secretary, did you get that? It is unanimous for those 10 votes. Thank you, Council, and thank you, Ken, for being willing to do that. Okay. Very good. Where are we? Consent agenda. Okay. So, Council, the consent agenda is before you. Those are items 13A through C. If you want to take a minute to look through those, and if there's anything you'd like pulled off for separate discussion, please let me know. Looks pretty straightforward. Okay, not hearing anybody want to take anything off, so we will move to item 14. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda as written?
So moved.
Second.
I wanted to do a second.
I withdraw my second.
Okay, second.
Oh, poor Ken. Ken, this is a rough night for Ken.
I moved the spot. You know, I'm closer to Adam. It's rubbing off.
So Mayor Pro Tem moved and Councilwoman Wallace seconded. Okay, congrats. Thank you, Ken. Such a gentleman. All right, moved and seconded. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. Ayes have it, and the consent agenda is approved as written. Thank you all very much. Okay, item 15, City Manager, your reports, please.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I didn't plan to announce anything major. It'll be business as usual, and I know at least two of you have children you're trying to get out to see it for performances, so I can hold till the next meeting.
You sure?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Next week, yeah. We'll be back here next week.
That's right.
I was told every other week.
Yeah, surprise. That's right. Okay, so we look forward to that report next time. Thank you for doing that. Any city council reports? Anybody has?
No PNC meeting tomorrow.
No PNC? All right.
Haven't had one since the last, though.
Okay. Parks meets again on the 21st, is that right? Okay.
Youth Commission did meet Thursday. Not a whole lot to discuss, and we'll ramp it back up after summertime, basically.
It's going to take a hiatus for summer? Or do you have any?
Well, we've got the 4th of July parade, but apparently no one can be there.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Everyone was out, summer camp or other things.
Vacations, yeah.
Some people in Spain.
Yeah. Ken, getting back at it.
Hey, I'm going to be in Boston. I'm going to be out of town, too.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, there you go. There you go. All right.
I'll be here.
Any other reports? Any other updates? No? Very good. All right. Well, we will, before we end tonight, we're going to go into executive session. So I will recess at 6:31 to go into executive session. We'll come back for the last item. Colin, Meg, did Keisha get with you about like all the trainings and everything that you have to do?
Yeah, we talked about it all.
Very good.
Okay. You know, like you have a certain time frame and you have to get it. Okay.
We made it understandable and relevant.
Okay. We are coming back from executive session and resuming at 7:09. Very good. Our last item on the agenda for this evening is consider action on adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
So moved and seconded.
Yay!
We are. Congrats. So you both got a chance to make this up. Just wait till you make a motion. That's big time. Adjourned at 7:10. Just wait till you get to make a motion. That's really big time.
I was about to motion.